He's got a beautiful backswing.
He got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Oh my God, you had to deal with the golf course people too!
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know?
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the 73rd Hole. Colby Powell and Taylor Williams with you as always. Make sure you hit us up on social media, search for 73rd Hole, and you will find us. Take a couple minutes to rate and subscribe this podcast as well. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. We're happy to welcome to the show today a friend of the show. He's been on with us before, and he's about to get back in action. Current Korn Ferry Tour member Taylor Moore joins us. Taylor, what's going on?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Happy to have you on again, and especially on such an important week. Want to get into a little bit about what you've got going on this week. There's a big tournament this week in the state of Oklahoma. A lot of people who played golf growing up in this state or know much about junior golf know what a big deal the OGA Junior Boys and Girls Championship is. And this year, it is the OGA Junior Boys and Girls Championship hosted by Taylor Moore, and that's taking place today through Saturday out at Kicking Bird Golf Club in Edmond. So, Taylor, just tell everybody a little bit about how that came to be and what that event is kind of turning into now that it's getting underway.
Yeah, man, it's super exciting stuff. You know, growing up playing in it, it was an awesome event and kind of one of the first match play events that we played. And I was just talking to my dad and Brian Thornton one night, the head pro at Kicking Bird, and we were trying to figure out how I could, you know, give back to Maury and the OJGT and, you know, a little bit of Oklahoma Junior Golf, which gave so much to me. And we came up with the idea that I could host or sponsor a tournament, and it just happened to be this one. So everything, you know, kind of lined up for me to host the state junior, and it's been incredible. I'm just trying to, you know, give the kids an opportunity to play in the best junior state tournament in the country, and then also give them a chance to kind of simulate a pro tournament. So, you know, we're doing some ropes and stuff around the driving range, the putting green, the first and 10th tee that say players only, and just kind of give them a chance to separate themselves from their parents and you know, get in their arena and give them a little simulation of what pro golf is like. And we've been able to do that, you know, in the 2 years that I've done it. And we're looking forward to continuing to grow it and get it bigger and better.
Yeah, truly tremendous what you're doing for that, Taylor. And I know all the junior players who are doing it now and who used to do it definitely appreciate all the work that you're doing. And, you know, I mentioned you the other day that I saw that you were giving a clinic out there. I guess it would have been the Sunday before all the events started. And I guess what I'd ask you, my friend, is had you ever done a clinic, any type of thing like that before? And so was that your first time? And then what were you trying to teach on to these youngsters? What kind of wise wisdom were you trying to send your way onto them?
Yeah, for sure. I've done a few of the clinics before, out on the web and Korn Ferry Tour when I started. I've done a few, but this one was definitely more personal to me, just being the Oklahoma, you know, state junior kid. Yeah, I think as far as what I was trying to pass on, you know, I really just wanted it to be an interactive kind of Q&A. I wanted them to ask any questions they had and just kind of, you know, allow them the opportunity to ask whatever they wanted, whether it be golf, life, college, you know, recruiting stuff, whatever the case may be, because I've obviously been through it all. And so I just, you know, just wanted to show off, you know, a little bit of my skills, obviously, and teach them how I practice and how I train and what I do before rounds, but then really just give them the opportunity and the parents as well to ask me and Brian any questions they may have, and really just, you know, have an interactive and, you know, very, very kind of close-knit Q&A and skills deal, and I think we were able to do that for sure.
What were the most predominant questions you got, Taylor? Were people more asking, like, technical stuff golf-wise? Was it more along the journey? Was it kind of what's going for you going forward? What were kind of the main central points that you got, or was it kind of just spread out a little bit of everything?
Yeah, you know, it was a really good mix. They kept me on my toes a little bit, had some really good questions, but, yeah, I got everything from, you know, a parent asking me, how I want to represent myself off the course and in social media to kids asking me, you know, what my daily routine is and things like that. And, you know, them asking me to hit certain shots and stuff under the gun, which was actually really good practice for me. So it was a lot of fun, but yeah, I got a little bit of everything, and, you know, it lasted about an hour and a half. So I felt like it was a really good time. You know, hopefully more and more kids, you know, attend, in the next few years, I think I'm going to try to make it a point to make it there and do the same thing. So, yeah, had a ton of fun with it. Brian did a great job, you know, kind of emceeing it. And I think the kids got out of it what, you know, what they wanted.
This is the 73rd hole. Taylor Moore of the Corn Ferry Tour joining us today. And we appreciate, Taylor, you taking some time out of your day. Your busy schedule this week. Obviously, everything going on with the OGA Junior Boys and Girls Championship. I'm curious. This is like an unexpectedly hot week. It's going to be 99 tomorrow, 98 Friday, 97 on Saturday. So I know at my home club, they've taken water off the course because of COVID. They don't want everybody touching the same water jugs and stuff. So what's happening out at the tournament this week to combat the heat? Because this is going to be tough for these kids getting up to nearly 100 degrees, especially after it's been 75 every day.
Right, yeah, no, I think, you know, part of the initiative for me was to make sure these kids were taken care of. You know, out on tour we have snacks kind of whenever we want it. We have waters every other hole, Gatorade and stuff. So I was lucky enough to raise enough money to do that as well for the kids, you know, waters and Gatorades are every second or third hole and, you know, snacks on the first and 15. And, you know, I think they're definitely going to be hydrated. We're definitely going to make sure they have waters and Gatorades and whatever else they might need, you know, every second or third hole, like I said, but it's playing in 99 degrees and the Oklahoma summer is, is quite the battle. So
there's no doubt about that.
I wish them the best of luck and, I'm just excited for them, honestly. I'm excited for them to play match play. And, you know, the scores were pretty incredible in stroke play. 141 through two rounds, you know, in the boys, older boys division was in a playoff to get in a match play. And wow. Out at Cambridge, I feel like that was really good plan. So, yeah, just excited for the kids. And, you know, I think they're young enough to tough it out, so they'll be all right.
Just yeah. Real quick, what do you know off the top of your head what score was leading through two rounds in stroke play?
I think 132, 8 under. So I think 65, 67, I believe, was the number one seed for the boys.
That was solid. So that would have been, looking here, that would have been Andrew Goodman who would have shot that. He was leading the the upper boys division. And that was going to be my next question for you, Taylor. Do you have any friends or anyone that you've kind of been a mentor to that's playing in this tournament who you're kind of rooting for? Do you have any multiple people who you've kind of rooting against, or not rooting against, but rooting for, you know, to kind of make it on? You know, like one of my really good friends, Ryder Cowan, was leading at the 14, 15-year-old division, won his first match 2-1, won a second match 7-6 today. Looks like he's on a roll, going to be really hard to beat. So do you have anyone like that for you, Taylor, that you're kind of either mentored or that you're wanting to see some higher success out of?
You know, I had a kid from Edmond that I, you know, would communicate with, mentor a little bit, but he's actually at Abilene Christian now, so he's through the OJGT. But, you know, I just don't really have, you know, one person or multiple people. I was very happy to receive a couple Instagram messages after the clinic. You know, I told the kids at the end of the clinic, feel free anytime to reach out via social media. You know, I'll respond. I'm not going to big time you guys. And, you know, I had four or five messages after, and I went out and watched those kids the next day that reached out to me and just watched a few holes each. And so I thought that was pretty cool. But no one in Pacific that I'm rooting for. I'm just, you know, like I said, I'm just glad these kids are having this opportunity with, you know, everything that's going on in the world and getting back to competition, get back playing the game they love. So I think it's awesome.
Yeah, and what is your Instagram handle? Is it T-more WPS? Is that correct?
It is, yep.
Yep. Make sure to go and follow him. Looks like you almost got 5,000. So you're definitely making a name for yourself out there doing that. And you're also a great follow. Seems like everything you post is exquisite and is good, and it's good informational stuff for all these juniors out there that can learn from as well. So make sure to go out and follow Taylor out there on social, and I'm sure you're on Twitter and all the other stuff as well.
Correct. Yep.
Yep, Timor WPS joining us today on the 73rd hole. Want to remind everyone, as storm season has kind of come through the state of Oklahoma, make sure that you give McCray Roofing a call for all your roofing needs. Their commitment to craft is what defines McCray Roofing and Exteriors. McCray Roofing is a locally owned and operated roofing service company that's passionate about the quality of their roof creations. Jeff McCray is the owner, friend of the show here on the 73rd hole, and he will make sure that you get taken care of. If it's good enough for Gallardia, it's good enough for Oak Tree, it's good enough for you. Call McCray Roofing today at 405-692-4000 or visit them online at mcrayroofing.com. So, Taylor, we've talked a little bit about you out on the Corn Ferry Tour, and as we all know, golf is almost back. So we were talking a little bit before we came on air about you kind of getting back in the swing of things and trying to get ready. And next week, the Korn Ferry Tour returns the same day as the PGA Tour with the Korn Ferry Challenge at TPC Sawgrass. Now, important distinction, it is not the stadium course. It is Dyes Valley course. I actually took the virtual tour online earlier, and it looks like a phenomenal golf course. So what have you been doing to get yourself ready to get back to action?
Yeah, I've just kind of gotten back into, you know, my daily practice routine. And once they kind of released our schedule, you know, 3 weeks to a month ago, just kind of hit it hard and got back into, you know, the grind a little bit. And I've gotten myself ready, you know, and in a position where I'm excited to go back next week and compete. And, you know, I've been lucky enough, too, to be down here in Dallas and play at Merido Golf Club. And they've hosted, you know, a couple kind of smaller events with some of the local pros in the area and also some of the D1 players, you know, from Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas, which has been cool to play a little bit of, you know, competitive golf amidst all this stuff. So yeah, definitely looking forward to getting back, you know, next week in Jacksonville and resume our season.
Now, is this a course that you've played?
It is. Yeah. I've actually played, so I played the Junior Players Championship as a junior a few times, and one of the years we played Dyes Valley, and then at Arkansas in the spring, I think 2 years we played Dyes Valley for a tournament. So I've had, you know, 8 to 10 rounds out there. I'm familiar with it. It's been, you know, 4 or 5 years since I've played it, but definitely another track.
Yeah, I did the virtual flyover on their website earlier, and it looks like a traditional Pete Dye golf course. Railroad ties all over the place, water everywhere. It looks like a great golf course.
Yep.
Do you like the golf course? You said you've got 8-10 rounds on. Is it a golf course you like?
I do. Yeah, I like it. I think it's, you know, it's challenging in some wind, especially crosswind. Driving the ball is the key, getting in the fairway is the key. If not, you can get some nasty kind of Bermuda flyers. And obviously, being a Pete Dye golf course, you really don't want to go, you know, over the green, past the green, trouble everywhere, kind of. So, yeah, keeping the ball in the fairway is a premium out there. It's a ball striker's golf course for sure. And, yeah, looking forward to it. Like I said, another track, so it should be ready to go.
And I have no doubt that you will be, my friend. I know you've been putting in so much hard work during this time, even though there hasn't been a whole lot of options to get out there and play. So even after this event down at TPC Sawgrass, what's your schedule going to look like after that? You just going to go every single week, just bang it out? Looks like afterwards, you know, next week after that's in Florida, then you go almost all the way across the state. You're going to Utah, Colorado, then kind of back down the Texas area, Missouri, Nebraska. Are you going to be able to play all those events? You're going to take a week off in between there? You know, what's your schedule going to look like going forward?
Yeah, I'm going to take a few weeks off for sure. Especially now that, you know, our season is combined into two, basically. So we're going to have a ton of events before, you know, graduating per se at the end of the 21 season to the tour. But I'm going to play 5 out of the first 6. So I'm going to start off, you know, with these two in Florida. I'm going to skip Utah. And then I'm going to play Colorado, which is an awesome TPC course just outside Denver. And then 2 weeks in San Antonio after that. So I'm going to play 5 out of the first 6 and you know, not get too crazy. We have had 3 months off. So just kind of going to play 2, see where my body's at, see how my game feels, and then play 3 more after that.
Right. Have you played either one of the TBC San Antonio courses? It looks like 1 week it's at the Canyons and the next week it's at the Oaks.
Yeah, I actually have not. I haven't played much golf in San Antonio, if at all. But, you know, just watching the event on tour, it looks like good golf course. I don't know which one it is out of two.
The Oaks is the one that the tour events on. The Canyons that is they play. I think the Canyons is the one where they play the Champions Tour event on. Normal.
Gotcha. But no, it looks pure on TV. It looks like an awesome place. I've heard great things about the area as well, hotel and everything. So definitely excited to get down there. And, you know, any event that I can drive to is a plus for sure. So.
Yeah, definitely being able to drive to it too. Yeah, and I played both of those courses, Taylor, so I'll be able to give you a little bit of insight if you need it for any stretch.
Hey, why don't you come – Why don't you come loop for me, man?
Hey, man.
Grab your yards, then come on.
Bro, I'm one call away, man. I am one call away, and that's no lie, man. But for real, though, here, man, Taylor, you mentioned this earlier, and I'm looking on the schedule. It looks like that, you know, they kind of split the schedule into two parts because the tour finals or whatever is looks like it's kind of in the middle, and then there is one, two, three. Looks like there's five events happening after the Korn Ferry Tour Championship. So what's the actual schedule plan for the Korn Ferry and how they're going to be able to integrate the new 50 tour spots that they're giving to the PGA Tour?
Yeah, so they pushed back any tour cards being handed out until the end of the 21 season. So the events that are, you know, that were before the new schedule that were, you know, finals events or playoff events or the Korn Ferry finals, they are just regular events for the rest of this season. And I think they might slightly elevate the points, but they push back the 50 cards until next year. And so what they're doing after the – it might be the Korn Ferry championship that's in Indiana. They are giving away just kind of 10 very conditional cards. So with that, you'll get into like five or six of the off-field events on the PGA Tour. You don't really have like a PGA Tour card per se, but you get into – the off-field events, like, you know, when there's the Open Championships going on, you know, the Dominican or whatever.
Mm-hmm. PGA Tour events. Puerto Rico, Barracuda, Barbasol, yeah, all those off-field events, yeah.
Exactly. So you'll get into those, which is, you know, five or six, like I said, which is, you know, definitely something to play hard for, definitely something to get into. Still give us a little bit of incentive to obviously compete and grind it out and try to get one of those 10 spots, which is great. And I think, you know, with everything that's happened and is going on, I think they did the best they could in doing that while obviously having to extend our season with all the eligibility requirements and reshuffles and all that crap and not having Q school. They kind of had to. So I think the PGA Tour did a great job in that. And yeah, there's just the 50 total cards are being pushed back to the end of the 21 season now.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I didn't realize that they were pushing the cards back a full year. So how does that impact you? I looked earlier today. Right now you're 33rd on the points list. So you said those 10 cards. So is it just the top 10 guys in points after that tournament? You mentioned the Korn Ferry Tour Championship. That's the last weekend in August. So is it just the top 10 in points after that tournament?
Correct. Yeah, and then I think there's, like you – I think you said four or five events after that are just kind of back on track for the 20 – and 21 season combined. So yeah, 33rd and top 10, you know, get a kind of conditional card, which is cool. So, you know, a couple good events away from that for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. One thing I was going to ask you, it was funny you were joking with Taylor about it. What's the Korn Ferry's, I mean, what are their policies on caddies right now? What are their policies on y'all putting with the flag in, raking the bunkers? I'm really curious as to what this looks like whenever we all get back. So how much have they communicated with y'all? You know, can you have caddies? What all can your caddies do? Are you supposed to pull your own clubs? Just things like that that you don't really think about. Do y'all have guidelines for all that stuff?
Yeah, we do. They sent us about a 37-page PDF file about 10 days ago, kind of telling us, you know, what we need to think about, what we need to focus on while we're traveling and getting back to playing again. But, you know, honestly, we are allowed to have caddies, yes. Our caddy and ourselves have to take a COVID test, you know, via Zoom, whatever, before we travel. So, like, I actually did mine earlier today and have to drop it off at FedEx tomorrow, and then they send you an email, positive or negative, so you can travel on Monday.
Well, good luck on your test.
Yeah, thank you. So both the player and the caddy have to do that beforehand. And then, you know, once you're out there on the course, they're asking you to try and be conscious of social distancing within your caddy. But they also understand that we're out there playing golf, trying to make a living. We're going to have to be close to our caddy at some point, you know, during the 18-hole round. And as far as the pins and raking the bunker and stuff, I don't think that they were going to restart the season and the tour unless we just got back to playing normal golf as we know it, especially, you know, we've had the USGA rule changes in the last year or two that were kind of a transition for us players. And then on top of that, they don't want us to be thinking about, you know, any more things. And yeah, so we're just going to get back to playing normal golf while keeping in mind some of the social distancing stuff, you know, when possible. But, you know, raking the bunkers, all that stuff, as far as I know, the caddies are going to be, you know, totally fine doing that now. on my tour, it is a little different than the PGA Tour. They're removing all of the like digital leaderboards, I think, just to limit the number of people on site. And so for the first 4 to 6 events, they are allowing us to use our cell phone to access the leaderboard, which is kind of, you know, a little bit of a tricky situation because obviously you want to protect the integrity of the game. But I think, like I said, they're trying to do the best they can and limit the people on site. So I understand it somewhat, but that's kind of a unique scenario, I think.
Boy, yeah, that's really unique. Yeah, and that does bring a lot of integrity into it, Taylor. What would you feel like if you were in a situation where, like, you saw someone looking over at their phone and all of a sudden they had the Weather Channel pulled up or, you know, to send a text or, you know, whatever it may be,
yeah,
maybe getting inside? You know, what would your – I mean, obviously, I know I've known you for so long, so obviously you don't have to worry about you doing anything like that. But how would you feel if you saw a player that you were out there with doing something like that, since it is, you know, not doing the feat of looking at the weather is acceptable, right, but actually having the phone out is how you're supposed to look at a leaderboard, which is, I mean, it's really crazy to think about, in all honesty.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I think the game of golf, you know, will take care of itself on its own. And, you know, we're supposed to self-govern anyway. So I would hope, you know, no players, you know, outstep the rules. And like I said, I think they just need to kind of protect the integrity of the game. And I think maybe after the first couple of tournaments, they might reevaluate and say, okay, only, you know, a caddy or a walking scorer can access their phone and show the player the leaderboard, et cetera, if, you know, things get out of hand. But, you know, I honestly think the players are just, we're just so excited to get back playing that they're going to kind of, you know, stay within the rules, do their part, you know, with all the guidelines that they're asking of us, and just get back to playing golf and competing.
Absolutely, that's great stuff. Taylor Moore's with us here on the 73rd hole. Taylor, stick with us. We're going to take a short break, and we will be back. Everybody, keep it locked right here on the 73rd hole.
When something the size of a golf ball hits your roof, you need to call McRae Roofing. McRae Roofing is Oklahoma's designer roofing service specialist. For years, Jeff McRae and the experienced team at McRae Roofing and Exteriors have served fellow Oklahomans by helping them with their roofing needs. McRae Roofing uses only top quality materials and professional crews to make sure that each job is done right, so it will give you the years of service, security, and protection you need from the unpredictable Oklahoma weather. McRae Roofing offers residential and commercial roofing, ventilation services, and custom copper designs. McRae Roofing is dedicated to exceeding the homeowner's expectations. It's not just a roof, it is your home's crowning glory. Call McRae Roofing today at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000. Make sure to also visit their website at mcraeroofing.com. That's M-C-R-A-Y roofing.com. Don't get caught with a leaking roof. Contact McRae Roofing for your free inspection today.
Welcome back to the 73rd hole. Colby Powell, Taylor Williams with you as always. Thanks everyone for joining us. Remember to go get your rounds in at Bushwood down in Chickasha. Bushwood Golf and Country Club, Ouachita Valley coming up. It is a month from today, actually. Ouachita Valley gets underway in Chickasha. So looking forward to that. The oldest tournament in the state of Oklahoma at Bushwood Golf and Country Club down in Chickasha. Taylor Moore still with us here on the 73rd hole, talking about getting restarted on the Korn Ferry Tour. I'm really curious, Taylor. I want to get your thoughts. How much have you seen about the new PGA Tour U that the details were released earlier this week?
Yeah, I briefly looked at an article. I don't know too much about it, but I think it's a cool deal. I think it's a very unique opportunity for college kids to kind of gain access into professional golf immediately. And, you know, kind of have a little bit more of a payoff for having a great amateur and college career. And it seems like, you know, to avoid Q school at all costs would be awesome, especially coming out of college. So I think it's a good opportunity for kind of the elite amateur players and elite college guys, and, you know, guys that have had, you know, solid careers as well at the collegiate level, let them have a chance to get on a tour and get some status pretty quick. So overall, I think it's good. I didn't look at the details in depth, but I think the idea of it is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's got a lot of really good intricate parts to it, Taylor. And one thing I want to get curious about, because you were such a great college player, and we talked about in our last podcast when we had all the news. So if you hadn't read into it deep enough, one of the things that was interesting about it was that it was only for Division One players or programs. And I'm wondering from someone from your perspective who was such an elite player, you know, two different things that we discussed that may be an issue. One, you know, would these guys who are on the fringe of being either at a smaller D1 school or an elite D2 school, would you feel like they'd be more emphasized to go to the lower end D1 so they might be able to eventually meet these qualifications? And then even on the flip side of that, you know, someone who's a top 15 or 20 junior player in the world, would they maybe decide not to go to an elite program, you know, like an Oklahoma State or, you know, any of these other places where they have a firm base and they may want to go off somewhere else where there's, you know, good practice facilities, but at the same time might not have as much competition. So it might actually create a little bit more parity in the game. Do you see either one of those situations happening with this program, or do you see much change in college golf going forward because of this?
Yeah, those are two great points. And, you know, I think both of them are, both of them could definitely happen. I think, you know, if you got a stud 17 or 18 year old kid that wants to play professional golf, and you know he knows internally that he could do it, he's probably going to try and you know, pick the quickest or, you know, easiest path to get there, and you can't really blame the kid, you know, at all. So I could definitely see both those scenarios playing out, and yeah, I think it would create some, you know, parity in the game, in the college game, and moving into professional golf. So yeah, both great points, Taylor. I haven't really thought about that, but I think, you know, I told, it's kind of funny you say that, I actually told the kids at the clinic, you know, there's a ton of great Oklahoma, you know, junior players, and a lot of them, you know, strive to play at, you know, Oklahoma State and OU, which are obviously great programs, and I know both of the coaches there very well, but I told them if they have, you know, the opportunity to go somewhere and play immediately, they should do so, whether that's, you know, Oral Roberts or, you know, Central Oklahoma or Oklahoma City or whatever the case may be, you know, a smaller D1 program or just somewhere they can play immediately, I think is huge. And so I think you might see some more elite junior players and, you know, players coming into college do something like that as well.
I'm curious, Taylor. You know, I've always thought it was, I don't know if strange is the right word, but golf is just different from other sports. You know, football, baseball, basketball, you play, and if you're an elite college player, then the professional ranks want you, and they come get you, and these different leagues have drafts and things of these nature. So you have a very clear path on how you go from being an elite college player to a professional. And in golf, there's never been that. There's never been a very clear path unless you're the 1% of the 1% of the 1%, Matthew Wolf, Victor Hovland, Colin Morikawa. Everybody else in college golf has to find their own way and kind of make their own path to the PGA Tour. So I'm curious, whenever you first got out of college, I mean, the day after your last tournament, did you already have a plan in place? Were you still trying to figure out what you wanted to do next? Because I'm fascinated by how golfers transition from being college players to trying to make their way into the professional ranks.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a great question. And golf is very, very, very unique. And, you know, the game doesn't owe you anything. You can be the number, you know, one ranked player in amateur golf for a long time. And, you know, 2 years later, you struggle and you're not playing anymore. And it's just the nature of the game. But as far as me personally, I did have a plan in place. My senior year of college, I went to McKenzie Tour Q School as an amateur up in Canada and played well enough to gain status. And so I actually went from, my last college tournament was the national championship in Eugene, Oregon. I went straight from there up to Victoria, Victoria, British Columbia, and got started and turned pro that next week, and, you know, had status on that tour and got started that way. And so I think there's a little bit more of that going on. That was in 2016, so I think it's kind of just got more and more popular to play some smaller tour Q schools as an amateur whenever you get a break in your spring season to try and have some status, because the last thing you want to do when you finish in June as a college golfer is not really have anything to play in until Q school gets started in October or November, whatever, you know, that date is. And I was lucky enough to kind of transition and go right away and play well early, and that's how I got, you know, on the web.
Yeah, that was going to be my next point there, Taylor, because that we mentioned on our last show as well about how, you know, college golf just ends around such a weird time because, you know, what the Corn Ferry Q School doesn't start till what, the end of August or early September, somewhere around there. So all of a sudden you finish in middle, late May or June, whenever it is. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're kind of just searching for these tournaments to play and gain status. I mean, you know, there's Monday qualifiers and stuff like that, you know, but at the same time, you know, it just seems to end at a weird time, you know? And so I guess, you know, a lot of players had to do what you did where, you know, you have to enter the qualifying school as an amateur because you're still in college. And then, and then once you, you know, if you do make it, then once you graduate, then you can start. Where had any of the Canada Tour tournaments had started before Nationals had ended, Taylor? So did you miss any events?
I missed one. So I think it was a 12 tournament season when I played, and I think it's still the same now. And I just missed one, and it was the same week as the national championship. And so I only missed one, and then, you know, I actually played well in my very first one and finished solo second, which gave me, you know, status the rest of the year on that tour. But I think it's just important to have a schedule if you can at all costs, because it teaches you how to be a pro quick. I mean, you go from playing college golf and playing 54, 36 or 54 hole events, you know, with one practice round before, to now you basically got to schedule out your whole week, Monday through Sunday, and, you know, learn how to travel by yourself, learn how to practice, you know, appropriately and get ready to play four rounds a week. So, that would be my advice to any, you know, kid coming out of school, is try to get on a tour, try to get a schedule that simulates, you know, what they do on the big tour as soon as possible.
Right, exactly. And one thing too, I don't know if you saw this in the PGA Tour, you, Taylor, is that the guys that finished 6th through 15 on that college system, they will have their choice to either go to the McKenzie Tour, PGA Tour China/Asia, or the Latin America Tour. And I was just curious, did you ever give any consideration to the other two tours besides the McKenzie, or were you just dead set on that's what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I definitely looked at the other couple of tours. I think Latin Tour is a great tour. I played a few events there in between the end of the Canadian Tour that ended in, I think, August or September, and then before the final stage of Q School in December, I played a couple of Latin events just to stay sharp. But yeah, it was a tough kind of, you know, decision, but financially the McKenzie Tour and Canadian Tour made a little bit more sense for me, and that's why I ultimately chose it.
Right. Besides finances, Taylor, what did you see were some advantages and disadvantages from each tour, just from your own perspective?
Yeah, I think the actual golf courses, golf course style suited, you know, me a little bit better. I think travel was slightly easier, especially coming from the United States, you know, getting up to Canada, and then they kind of worked their way from the west side of the country to the east, and you really didn't have that much travel between stops. Sometimes it's an hour and a half drive, you know, south, you were in the same province or whatever. But it just seemed like Latin Tour was a little bit more spread out. You could be in Brazil 1 week, then fly to Mexico 1 week, and then back to, you know, Chile or something, and it just kind of seemed like it was a lot more traveling, and I just thought it would be a little bit easier transition for me in Canada.
Yeah, Taylor Moore with us here on the 73rd hole. That's interesting. I've never played golf in Canada. I've been up there in the Northwest, and it is beautiful countryside, and I know that they have some great golf up there. So one thing I was kind of curious about, we talked earlier about, you know, you're playing TPC San Antonio 2 weeks in a row, but it's two different golf courses. It's the Canyons course 1 week and then the Oaks course the following week. The PGA Tour is actually, due to a schedule change with the John Deere, they're just going to have Muirfield Village host a tournament at Jack's Place in Columbus, I think, Dublin, Ohio, maybe. Yeah, Dublin. Taylor Williams says it is Dublin. So they're just going to host a tournament there 2 weeks in a row. What do you think about those guys playing a PGA Tour event on the same course in back-to-back weeks? It's going to be a little weird.
Yeah, it's going to be very weird. And, you know, I think just this whole season, this whole situation, this whole year is very, very unique. And I think the tour is just trying to fill as many tournaments and as many dates as possible before the FedEx Cup playoffs, and that's obviously the best scenario they came up with for that tournament. And it'll, as a viewer and as a spectator and as a golf fan, it'll be a little weird to watch for sure, but you know, I think when it comes around, I don't think anybody's really going to care too much. They're just going to be excited to have golf back, live golf back, and the game back for sure.
Yeah, I agree. No doubt about it. Taylor, what you're doing with the tournament this week is phenomenal, and can't wait to see you get back out on the Corn Ferry Tour and start having some success. We really appreciate you joining us again, and we'd be happy to have you back anytime.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Look forward to seeing you hoisting that first trophy, brother. And, you know, if you really do want me to caddy, I promise I'm there, and we'll definitely hoist some trophies then as well. So,
yeah, sounds good. Thanks again, guys, for reaching out, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Taylor. Have a
appreciate it, brother.
See you guys.
That's Taylor Moore joining us here on the 73rd hole. Colby Powell and Taylor Williams with you twice a week. Loved having Taylor on again today. He's really making a name for himself on the Corn Ferry Tour. Hope to see him on the PGA Tour shortly. Taylor, one thing I did not know is that they were pushing the cards back for the Corn Ferry guys, which obviously, I mean, that's a huge deal for a guy like Taylor Moore, who, I mean, usually the top 25 get spots. He was in 33rd with a lot of tournaments left. Now he's going to have to fight for that top 10 for those kind of conditional cards he was talking about.
Right, yeah. So it looks like it's going to go to the top 10, and they'll get kind of that conditional status. And there's so much, you know, like we had mentioned so many times before, you know, how many reshuffles do you get through, you know, the exact status that you'll have. So I'm interested to see kind of when they, you know, obviously break it down just a little bit more, because if they're going all the way up until the end of the 2021 season, I mean, that's a lot of tournaments that are going to be played, and, you know, a lot of consistent golf is going to be needed to get to that next level. And so it, you know, obviously this virus has kind of made everything a little hompy wampus, or however you may say it. So kind of is what it is. But, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like the best 50 players will be able to get back out there the way that it should be. It's just going to take a little longer than it would have without all this BS stuff going on in the exterior world.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be really interesting. Obviously, again, golf starts back up next week. Cannot wait.
It's right here.
We didn't end up going to Bushwood yesterday, so we didn't play our match. So if anybody's waiting for an update, right, we're going down Friday.
Friday will be the match. Yeah, we had some schedule complications yesterday. Didn't allow us to make it down there, but we will be down there Friday with an update. 5.5 strokes. That's
5.5? I thought it was 8.5.
9.5. What, how many ever you want, bro? I'm going to start doing the Seve Ballesteros stuff where I jingle change in your backswing and drop clubs.
Rip your glove off.
Rip my glove off, yeah. You know, so we're going to start playing some dirty tricks if you want that many.
Nah, 5.5 will work.
Yeah, we'll do.
Should be plenty since.
Well, if you birdie the first three and I'm two over through the first three after last time, then I'm going to have to start doing it no matter what anyway.
If I birdie the first three in consecutive rounds at Bushwood, that might be a sign that I need to play every round there forever.
You're over and under on the first three holes. This next round is over and under -2.5. So,
oh, whoa. That's gonna be tough.
Your standards are high.
Could be tough.
First hole's 180 par 3 uphill into the wind, and then the next one's a 430 yard par 4 into the wind as well. So, good luck to you.
Yeah,
you made it work before, so do it again.
Yeah, and it's gonna be 99 degrees.
Oh, just bring some H2O.
We were talking yesterday. You walk outside and there's a little bit of breeze blowing, but it's so hot that the breeze is like a hot fan blowing on you. That's what it feels like today.
That is, and you know, definitely for anyone who is out there is golfing and listening, you know, make sure you stay hydrated. You know, like Colby mentioned, there's a lot of courses where they don't have water out on the course just for safety reasons as well. So make sure you take your own water. Chug. You're supposed to drink a gallon of water a day anyway. Let alone if you're out there sweating your balls off.
Take the water jug. That's what you and I both yesterday went out and practiced. We had the big water jug.
Gallon. At least mine's a gallon. Huh? Is yours a gallon? Is it more than a gallon?
1.5, I think.
1.5. Okay. Yeah. So you're packing even more than me.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
And that's all needed too.
Yeah. Got to have it in the heat. Hopefully all the kids out at the OGA Junior Boys and Girls Championship hosted by Taylor Moore this week have some. Can't wait to get down to Bushwood on Friday and play. Make sure you call down there and get your tee time. Get ready for the Wachita Valley coming up next month. Corn Ferry returns next week. PGA Tour returns next week. Really excited for Monday. Our very first guest on the show is going to come back on and rejoin us to talk about the restart of the PGA Tour. We'll have Craig Humphreys joining us next week. So really looking forward to that, and then it'll be time to preview some golf. Real live golf.
It's right here, and you know, like we mentioned, we keep talking about the PGA Tour, but also, you know, we got the Corn Ferry coming back. You know,
we will be previewing the Corn Ferry as well.
Absolutely, there's going to be a lot of good players down there. We already mentioned how VJ withdrew, so you know, there's always storylines going on there, and I'm just excited to hear, you know, not only just have all golf back, but also just all of the great guests that we've had on during this time, being able to come on and share the time, like Taylor, then Taylor Gooch, Rian Gibson, being able to follow up with them and see how they do, and hopefully they keep their careers going in the positive direction like they have been so far.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Great interview today with Taylor Moore. Really appreciate him joining us. We're back next week. Thanks for listening again to the 73rd Hole.